Isn't the Lord so wonderful? It's like the gospel just never gets old. Sorry about that. Lord, we just thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you that you're in this place right now, God, that you're making us come alive to the good news of the gospel. Lord, I ask that you'd continue to breathe on the embers of our hearts, Lord, to breathe on the good news, Lord, that we're all sitting in this room because we've heard the good news and you've changed our lives from the inside out. Lord, I pray right now that you would continue to catalyze us with just a fresh understanding, that we'd come under the rays of your light, of the glorious gospel of Christ Jesus, and Lord, that we would catch the go of the gospel, that you would give us a heart for the lost, Lord, a heart to go wherever you're calling us, God. And I thank you, God, there are fresh assignments being handed out tonight. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and mark people tonight. Mark people tonight for their homes, their neighborhoods. Mark people tonight just to do the work of the go of the gospel, Lord. And we just praise your holy name. We praise your holy name. And I just want you to put your hand on your heart again and say, mark me tonight, Lord. Mark me tonight, Lord. Have your way. Put your hand on the person next to you and say, mark them tonight, Lord. Turn around and pray for the people behind you. Say, mark them tonight, Lord. If you're in the back row, just receive. Just receive. Just receive. Oh, my. Yeah, I want to get marked tonight. Lord, may we not leave the same. Oh, shoot, no. I can barely stand. Okay, mark me, Lord. And for the record, I don't pray things I wouldn't pray over myself. Oh, my goodness. I'm scared. All right, if you would open up your Bibles to Luke 19. We're gonna get a fresh mission of God. We're gonna just stay in the river of God, where he's calling us to the go of the gospel. Oh man, you know there are nations in this room tonight that will be touched. There are people who will be catalyzed tonight, that there will be a ripple effect, that nations will be moved, nations and people groups. There will be sections of this city that will be markedly different because of the work of grace through these people in this room right now, people hearing this message right now. And we know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is unstoppable. And so I want us to open up to Luke 19, and we're just going to kick off in verse 10. This is Jesus when he's at Zacchaeus' house, the man who was the most offensive man as a Jew. And yet the mercy of God finds this man. And Jesus speaks to him like a son. And with this, he gives a great mission statement of his life. Luke 19:10, he says, and Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house, because also, he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. There, right there, is the mission statement of Jesus Christ. He came to this earth as one of us to seek and save all that was lost. And God's plan of redemption is first and foremost about what he says are true riches. And true riches are people. And he has come to seek and save people. People is at the heartbeat of the mission of God. People is at the heart of everything that we say and that we do and where we go. He endured the cross because of people. He wanted to bring reconciliation and restoration back to people and himself. So he endured the cross, despising its shame. People, seek and save the lost. This was the mission of Jesus. And I want us to turn to I'll just say this. 2 Peter 2. You can just write it down if you want to look it up later. 2 Peter 3. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering or patient toward us, not willing, here it is, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The heart of God is that every person who breathes and steps foot on this planet is to turn to him. Every person. He's not willing that anyone would perish without knowing him. And then number three, Romans 1. Let's turn there real quick. Romans 1. The mission of God to seek and save the lost. The heart of God, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance, all turn to him. And lastly, Romans 1, this is Paul who's been gripped by the gospel. Even in 2 Corinthians 4, he calls the light of the gospel the glory of Jesus. And think of this, like the radiance of the gospel is like a bright light from the face of Jesus. And he's been gripped by this gospel. And he says in verse 16, Romans 1, 16, for I am not ashamed of the power of Christ, the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And we know that the power of the gospel, we just saw it tonight. We saw it tonight. And by the way, if you gave your life to the Lord, if you were a person who raised your hand, I want to say this before so I don't miss it. At the end of service tonight, we're going to have a team of people over here on the side, and we want to minister the gospel to you. We want to minister freedom and deliverance and healing and whatever you might need. We want to pray with you, forgiveness, anything that you would need. We want to pray with you. All right. So I want you to remember that. And if you brought somebody to church, I want you to bring them and we can pray for you. But the power of the gospel, it is explosive. It is the incorruptible seed, the seed that will never, never die. It's a seed that's planted and it breathes life again and again and again and again. And it is the power of God. It's the same. The gospel is the dunamis. It brings wholeness and restoration and eternal life. And it's fascinating to think that we could string words together to articulate a reality not from this world, that nothing can touch its power. Isn't that mind-blowing? The gospel of Jesus. And we hear of the gospel of Jesus and we see it all throughout the scriptures. And we see it when the woman reaches out with the issue of blood and touches Jesus and power comes and she's healed. And we see the gospel as he tenderly looks at her and says, daughter, your faith has made you well, whole, delivered. Salvation is here for you, daughter. We see the power of the gospel when Peter goes to Cornelius's house and he's given a vision. This is the first time the gospel was preached outside of the Jewish people, and he steps foot into a Gentile's house. And he preaches the gospel, and an entire family is born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit. We see the gospel everywhere Jesus goes. We see the gospel when he touches the man at the Gadarenes, who's filled with thousands of demons. Even chains can't keep him. His home is a cemetery. And he comes and he delivers this man. The gospel is at hand. And we see the gospel in the humility, the mercy of God. That last song, Come Behold Him, that's the gospel. The Ancient of Days, the name above all names, the one who reigns in a meek and lowly way. This is Jesus. He is the gospel. He is the good news. The gospel means good news. How many of you have ever gotten really good news before? Oh, like two of us? You're here. The good news of Jesus, and the beautiful thing about the gospel is it works anywhere, on anyone, and in any language, at any time, anywhere. A 5-year-old could preach the gospel. A 95-year-old could preach the gospel. People, it's not even the articulation of the gospel. It's the reality of the gospel, that the incorruptible seed that comes and brings life and life abundant. And Jesus is the bullseye of the gospel. I'm just going to read a few things. Jesus Christ procured our way to life everlasting through the cross. Jesus Christ paid our debt, forgave us forever, and gave us life everlasting. That's the gospel. Jesus Christ says, I want you to walk in my ways, lowly and yet full of power. That is the gospel. This is sin being completely wiped free. And you know what? The word preach, the gospel, in Mark 16, it's the Great Commission. He's saying, go and preach the gospel to all nations. Preach just means declare the good news. And I'm telling you right now, you don't have to be on a pulpit to preach. The pulpit's actually your life. And the message of the gospel is Jesus, what he's done to you and what he's doing through you. That's good news. That is good news. And we're sitting in this room because the gospel has transformed our lives. I want you to listen to Charles Spurgeon's quote on the gospel. And this is so sticky. It's oily a little bit, a lot of it. Charles Spurgeon on the gospel. The glorious Savior is the substance of the glorious gospel. Jesus is the one subject of our glad tidings, the one subject of our great joy from beginning to end. When he was born, the angels proclaimed good tidings of great joy to the sons of men. And after his death, his human messengers went forth to all nations with the same message of love. His death is the birth of our hope. His resurrection is the rising of our buried joy. His seating at the right hand of God is the prophecy of our eternal bliss. Christ is the author of the gospel, the subject of the gospel, the end of the gospel. His hand is seen in every letter of every epistle of divine love that we call the New Testament. And he himself is glad tidings to us in every point. And the gospel is from him in every sense. There is no other gospel that does not relate to Jesus. If there is no blood on it, it's rejected as forgery. As Christ is the subject, so is the object. So is he the object of the gospel. His glory is promoted by the gospel, and it is the gospel of his glory among the sons of men of all ages throughout eternity. The gospel and the sinner saved by it will glorify the Son forever and ever and ever. Isn't that so good? And you know what? When we're gripped by this, when we're gripped by this reality as citizens of heaven, we will have frames of thought. We will, out of our heart, flow the issues of life. When we have our hearts settled in that we are smack dab in the inheritance of Jesus Christ, we are in Christ Jesus, we will have ideologies that will say, no place is too dark. No man is unsavable. No city is unredeemable. No person is too far gone. No person is too riddled in sin. No person too demonized for the Lord. And we will go anywhere and speak the word to anyone because it is the good news of Jesus that is incorruptible. Isn't that exciting news? It's way more exciting than your faces look. Just saying. We are gripped with this. Gripped with the good news that dead people can come alive. That people in prison can be set free. That people who are addicted can be made whole and resurrected into life. We have the good news of the hope for the hopeless. Any hopeless situation, any situation filled with despair, we have the good news of Jesus. We have the good news of Jesus. We have the Spirit of God that lives within us. That alone is marvelous. Even what Jordan said, the mystery of Christ being risen from the dead, his disfigured body, and 3 days later, risen in power. That's the gospel, and we have the same spirit that lives within us. That is powerful. Now listen, if we heard a great physician walked into a hospital who could do anything, how good would that news be? If we heard that an advocate walked into prison doors and said, I've come to pay your debt. I've come to cancel your crimes against you forever. I've come to wipe the slate clean. How good would that news be? How much better is the news of people who are eternally bound, separated from God, when we come with the news of liberty that Jesus Christ has come to bring life and life everlasting and life eternal? That is good news. That is such good news, and we have the good news. And this is the beautiful thing, is we're made to share the gospel. We are made to share the gospel. I want you to turn to one more place, 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17. AJ read this last week. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now listen to this translation, same verses, different translation. Listen to this. God has entrusted us with the ministry of opening the door to reconciliation to God. We are ambassadors of the anointed one, Jesus, who carry the message of Christ to the world, as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and be reconciled to him. Isn't that a beautiful, the perfect God with the perfect will use people to share the good news. That alone is mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. And so beautiful. The call to preach, to declare the good news from our lives, is not just for the evangelist. It's not just for extroverts. It's for every person. And the question is what kind of evangelist are you? Not are you. Are you a coffee shop kind of evangelist? Are you a relational person that you want to have the dinner table talks evangelist? Are you a prophetic evangelist? Are you a healing evangelist? Are you an evangelist who goes and just bumps into people randomly and leads people to the Lord all the time, Robin? I get jealous of your testimonies. I'm like, do that to me, Lord. I feel this in my spirit. Shy is a lie. Shy is a lie. No baby came out of the womb shy. So when it comes to preaching the gospel, and I want to tell you, everyone also is an evangelist. You want to know how I know this? Sunday night, our favorite football team plays. I'm not a football fan, but if you are, your favorite football team plays, or you read your favorite book, or you watch your favorite movie, and you get marked. Monday morning, you're wearing the shirt, you're wearing the cheese head, you're wearing the stuff, and you're talking to everybody about the good news. You know the stats, you know the star players, you know the star actors, you know the star characters in the show or in the book. We know every stat, and we get to tell people about the good news of what we just encountered. My team won. I'm so up. My team won. But listen, we're made. How many of you have done that before? You've read something? Man. We are made to share. And so I want to open up the light of the gospel that this is for every person. This is for every person. We're made for this. We're made for this. And I just want to, zoom in on one thing I felt the Lord say. What is the power of one yielded heart to God? And one thing I marvel about, and I actually get kind of lost thinking with God, is what it will be like when I meet him face to face and I see the ripple effect of the yieldedness of my heart that I would never know, that we will know someday. And I think about the ripple effect of Jesus. I mean, we're here because of him. Think of the ripple effect of Paul, yielded to the Lord, saying, I count everything as rubbish, but just for the surpassing greatness to know you. One yielded heart of the church to make the manifold wisdom of God known to the world and the principalities and the powers, Ephesians 2. One yielded heart like Peter, who goes and preaches to Cornelius' household, and the Gentiles were here because of it. The power of Philip's yieldedness to go and preach. And now, to this day, the nation of Ethiopia is one of the largest Christian nations. Philip. Now you're saying, okay, that's those guys. Scott, my husband. The power of one yielded heart. He gets a knowing to step out of his truck a few years ago. Steps out of his truck, just a knowing. No audible voice, nothing strong. He meets his competitor when we had our business. This was our competitor. And he feels compelled to share the gospel with this man. This man was in just dire straits. His wife was filing for divorce. He had 4 children in rehab. He was of another faith. And Scott's like, you need to know Jesus. So he was about to catch his flight back to his home state. Scott had him download the Bible app on his phone and said, read John. God's gonna meet you. 6 weeks later, we get a call in the morning, and I was there. He put it on speakerphone, and there's just loud music. And he's like, Johnny, that's not his name. Johnny, what are you doing? And he's like, you're never gonna believe this. I'm in church right now. He's like, my wife decided not to file for divorce. My children have been set free. They also know the Lord. I have an entire row. I have a row in this church because of one yielded heart to step out and say yes. For a few years in a row, our house church and even our business, we would gather around a single women that we knew through work who did not know the Lord around Thanksgiving and Christmas time. And we would share. We would bring them just gifts. We would fix up their house. We would do the honey-do list. We would just be the hands and feet of Jesus. But we would also write prophetic words and read them over these women. And they did not know the Lord. And we felt so gripped with these children, these mothers who are barely making it. And we blessed them lavishly with the presence of God, the hands and the feet of Jesus in serving and loving, praying. The 9 months later, 2 different years, these women called me 9 months later because the incorruptible seed that had been planted. And they said, I wanna give my life to the Lord. And one mother and her daughter both got born again. And the other one, the mother got born again 2 different years because of the incorruptible seed. One yielded heart, just acts of service. Isn't that powerful? Edward Kimball. Anybody heard of him? He was a Sunday school teacher. Any Sunday school teachers in here? Well, we need more. Lord, bring the Sunday school teachers. Grip us with the go of the gospel with the children. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher who was gripped with the gospel for his kids. One child in particular he was very, very concerned about. He went and found him at the shoe store where he worked and led him to the Lord. His name was Dwight Moody. Dwight Moody preached the gospel, and his gospel gripped a man named Frederick Meyer. Frederick Meyer was also gripped by the gospel, and he preached, listen to this, this is for some of us. If you're not willing to give up everything for Christ, are you willing to be made willing? That led Wilbur Chapman to respond to the call of God on his life. He preached, and Billy Sunday was also in that service, and he was catalyzed, and he preached to thousands. When Billy Sunday preached to thousands, a group of young people, I think this is going to be for some people over in this way. A group of people decided to dedicate their lives to reach a city for Jesus. And that group of young people who said, I will give my life to see Jesus known, that's also called revival. In this city, they brought a man named Mordecai Ham to a meeting who got born again. Mordecai Ham preached the gospel to a bunch of young people who a farmer brought in the back of his truck. And one 16-year-old was marked night after night after night. And the last night, he finally turned his heart to the Lord. And that man was Billy Graham. And Billy Graham has presented the gospel to more people than anyone in the history of the world. But do you see how one heart, the farmer to load his truck up, take the people? The youth who say, I'll give my heart, I'll give my life to see this city reached for Jesus. The people who Billy Sunday was actually helping set up the tents of the Crusades. That was what his yes looked like. And do you see the ripple effect? We'll never know. We'll never know. And I'm telling you, there are ripple effects in this room, like seismic activities in this room, that when we step out and we say yes to God, it's like the domino, boom, 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 and to the end of which we will not know until we meet him face to face. But I want to share a couple of traps that keep us maybe from fully sharing the glorious gospel of Jesus. One, Jordan already said that the God of this world blinds people. So we pray that the blinders would be removed, but there are traps set for us. And a trap, the Greek word for trap is actually scandalous, scandalon. And so I wanna shine the light on the scandalous trap so that we can avoid stepping into it. One is the leaven of Herod. What do I mean by that? It's a political spirit. And there's two sides to this political spirit coin. One makes us stand on a mountain and point with large opinions but dry eyes. And it steals our love. It steals our humility. It steals our ability to go and share the mercy of God, the love of God. When we have high opinions and dry eyes, we have a prayerless life. And I'm telling you, if we have high opinions, we need liquid prayers. And we need to catalyze this stance of it's this way. And I'm telling you, one of my good friends said this. I wish I could quote it. This is her. She said, don't squander your influence on anything less than Christ. Listen, don't squander your influence on anything less than Christ. Christ is the only hill that's worth dying on. That's the only hill. It's the only altar that I would be willing to sacrifice my very family on. Nothing less than Christ. And the other side of the political spirit gets us to tiptoe, to privatize our faith, to not say things that offend people. It's offense. That's the trap. And have you ever noticed when we're sharing, we're talking, hey, how was your day? How was your... And then we whisper when we talk about Jesus. I've been there. But I'm telling you, it's time. It's time. It's time. This is not a time to shrink back. And the beautiful thing about Jesus is he's shining the light on this political spirit, because what happens is we're like Pilate and we just wash our hands and say, this isn't my responsibility, sharing with the lost. And we don't want to wash our hands of the responsibility that God has given us. And I think it's his great mercy and humility that he wouldn't just boom right now and just save the whole world. He could do that. And yet in humility, he says, would you share? Would you share? So I want you to be able to sniff that. And then the second one, which has trapped me many times, is the fear of man. And I had a powerful encounter in 2017 where the Lord, so fiercely pierced my heart. And essentially what he said is, Megan, you love you more than you love me. And he showed me person after person after person who had come to me, in who I had influence over in the marketplace with pain, suffering, and I did not share. Because I cared more about my reputation than the reputation of Jesus. And I decided then and there, I had to get rid of my own reputation and live only for the reputation of one man. That I would not shrink back for fear of what it would do or how I would sound or whatever. You know, you fill in the blank. And let me tell you what compelled me through this. Jesus came to me on this cross. And he looked at me and he said, am I worthy? of you sharing all that I've done right here. And every time I feel afraid to share, I feel that prompting to go, and I feel afraid, I let the love of Christ on the cross compel me. And I want you to use that to compel you through, to be a sharer of the good news. And the question for us tonight is, who will go? Who will go? Who will allow their lives to be the pulpit in which Jesus is preached? Who will be the billboard that points people, that opens the door of reconciliation to God? Who will be the ones that live lives that people want to follow? Who will be the ones that are filled with joy and peace in any season? Like the Moravians, the ship's about to go down, they're singing. They're singing to the Lord, and a man of God who had preached the gospel for years, the Wesley brothers, he said, I don't know that Lord. And he was born again because of the peace and the joy they had in the storm. Who will go there? Who will live lives like that? Who will allow themselves to be just a beacon of light for the kingdom of darkness to have to be confronted? And I see the power of seeing the one in front of you. And you know what that means? We have to put our phones away so that we can seek. We can seek and save the lost like Jesus. We can seek. We don't save. We just share. We just open the door. Seek. Lord, who are you bringing to me? Who are you showing to me? I will go. I will step over that line and share the good news of Jesus. And I want you to think about this. I want you to think about three people who don't know the Lord that you know. I have a challenge for us. Three people, and I want you to write down their names. And I want you to start praying for them. And when the Lord comes and nudges on your heart, I want you to reach out to them. Bring them to church. Share the good news with them so that you can see. How many of you already have the three in your mind? And in 2 months, we're going to see what God has done in this place. Think about it, if every one of us shared the good news, that would be like CUNA. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. My son today, is CUNA that really small city? I guess. God is asking something of us today. Will you say yes? Will you say yes? Will you give away what he's given you? How many of you have been plucked out of darkness and set into the kingdom of light? Give it away. How many of you have been liberated from the chains of oppression? Give it away. How many of you have been addicted to alcohol and have been set free? Look at this. Give it away. How many of you have been addicted, but addicted in drugs or even other, yes, come on. Give it away. Give it away. We're not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. How many of you have been liberated from cycles of sin because of Jesus? Give it away. How many of you have been depressed and bent over and stricken with grief and you've been freed by Jesus? Look at what he's done. Give it away. Give it away. Give it away. It's time to give away that which we've been freely given. What has he done in your marriage? Give it away. What has he done in your life? Give it away. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Open the door. Look at what the Lord has done. Knock, knock, knock. Oh, you don't know Jesus? I just get to knock the door, and guess who answers? The King of Glory. And all you have to do is connect the hearts, connect the hands, and he'll do the rest. And so who will go to the high rises, to the boardrooms? You know that people can be in poverty and have millions of dollars. Who will go to the people who look the part but are dying inside? Who will go to the people in the dirt? The people who are destitute in the far-reaching nations, here in this nation. Who will go? Who will go? Who will go? Who will go? Here am I, Lord. Send me, God. Send me, God. And I'm saying, if you're not willing, say, Lord, make me willing. Make me willing, Lord. I might not be willing all the way, but Lord, make me willing tonight, Lord. And I want us to stand. The Lord is giving out assignments tonight. Blessed are the feet of those who go. Blessed are the feet of those who share the good news. The gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus. Oh my goodness. Jesus. Is anyone more wonderful? Is anyone more worthy? Is anyone more powerful? I want to pray, and I really sense the Lord wants to give out some assignments. I feel like the Lord wants to bring liberty to people who are maybe stuck in that political spirit paradigm or the fear of man. Or maybe like, yeah, so I'm gonna start praying, and I want you just to stay open to the Spirit of God. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you are the greatest story ever told. Lord, that we don't ever graduate from the gospel. It's not the first step. It's literally our life. God, would you come and just mark people tonight, Lord? I pray right now for people who are caught on hills of the political spirit, Lord, with high opinions and dry eyes, Lord, that you would come and break our heart for the lost, Lord. Would you come and give us a heart for the lost, Lord? Give us a heart for the ones who don't deserve it, Lord. Give us a heart of mercy where there's nothing deserved, Lord. God, I ask that you would come and break fear by a vision of Jesus on the cross. Break fear and hesitation by the slain and standing Lamb of God. Lord, take us out. Take us out of comfort, Lord, and help us be heralds of the good news. On Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, and let us gather on Sundays, Lord, with new people who have been made a new creation. God, I ask right now that you would start to just stir us up for the lost. Lord, it's all about your people. It's about your people, Lord. Help us simplify. Help us mature into the simplicity of your mission to seek and save that which is lost. Lord, I pray right now for a holy boldness. A holy zeal and ridiculous adoration that would compel us to share. I ask for divine appointments tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. I release the people of God to go into the universities, into the schools. Right now, young people, teachers, into the schools and into the universities. I release the people of God to bring the good news to hurting around them. I release the good news for all of our people who are in ministry in prisons. Lord, may we all be liberators of oppression and those who are in captivity. God, would you come? Would you come and compel us with the same love that compelled you to go to the cross? Lord, your life for our life. And I want you to ask him. I want you to ask him this question. Where do you want me to go? Harvest is ripe. What if the wave of evangelism that's been prophesied over this house, it's God waiting for us to make a move? What if the wave of evangelism that's coming to the different faiths, to the New Age community in this valley is actually us going and sharing the good news of Jesus. Lord, we will go. We will go. I want you just to lift your hands and say, Lord, I will go. I will go. Lord, send us. Send us wherever you're asking, Lord. I sense that some of us, he's asking us to move out of the borders of our own neighborhoods. Some of us, he might even be asking us to, like, it's time for you to actually move where I've told you to move. It's time for you to go to that place that I've promised you. And Lord, I just pray right now, God, that you would find a people so radically in love with you that we just couldn't contain it. Like when our favorite team wins, Lord, we're on Team Jesus and we just can't contain the good news. And Lord, I pray right now that you would stir up every believer right now with the power of the gospel, the power of the glorious inheritance in which we can't even really articulate how good it is. Lord, help us give away what you've given us in the name of Jesus. And we just declare right now that we are a people who cast out demons. We are a people who lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We are a people who give hope to the hopeless. We are a people who give life to the lifeless. We give life to the lifeless. We are a people who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to close by saying those three people, I want you to write them down tonight, and I want you to pray and journal and intercede for their souls. Intercede for their souls. We cannot bear someone to be eternally separated from God. And I pray that God would mark us and grip us for this very thing. To see the souls brought in to the kingdom of God in this valley, in the nations of this earth. And may the people going out from this house, everyone, whether it's on a mission trip or on a mission to your workplace, that there would be a wave of evangelism coming right now, that by the end of spring, there will be new places and new people and new creations in this room right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, oh God. I thank you, Lord. We just bless you. We bless you as you go. We bless you with the good news. And if you were born again tonight, if you raised your hand when Jordan was articulating Jesus Christ, we're going to have some people right over here praying. And if you need anything that we've articulated from the gospel, freedom, deliverance, healing, an impartation of grace, if you want to know what God says about you, I want you to meet us right over here. We're going to pray. And if you want any other prayer, we're going to have the prayer team forward. You can come and be ministered to. If you sense that you sense this like holy stirring inside of you, you can come and we'll just lay hands on you and just stoke the flame of God. But may you go in peace. May you go with the precious name of Jesus and the powerful articulation of the gospel in the name of Jesus. Be blessed tonight. Be blessed tonight.